Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This satsang, this Aspire radio program, is being recorded for Saturday, December the 10th, 2016. And how grateful I am you chose to be with me as we take a look at sadness. I get emails from those of you who listen regularly, and I want to thank you for your kind emails. They mean so much to me, and I'm very grateful not only that you listen, but that you participate by offering me, well, subjects that are important to you, and we're going to talk about sadness. I want to remind you that these radio programs are supported solely and entirely upon your listening and your contributions. Your donations make all this possible. Our sponsors who support our radio and our TV efforts are the ones that make this radio and our television possible. And you can go on the Aspire website at aspire.org, and you can see past TV programs that I've done many, many years ago. Right now we're working on Signatures on the Water, a little Zen saying, dealing with a lot of the programs that were made way, way, way back in the 80s. You can go and look at them. They're interesting. Believe me, they are. And our radio programs that go back 7 years on the Aspire website, if you like. It's all there at aspire.org, and it is all sponsored by people such as yourself who find value in what I'm offering and the idea that consciousness is what we need in this world. I know many of you think we need a new president, yada, 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 but here we are. And I say, develop within yourself, become independent of all of that insanity, because that's what politics is, total insanity. Let us get to the first question. We're going to talk about sadness. It's a state that most of us have felt many times, I'm sure, in our lifetime. I know I have, I'm sure you have. I feel sad for the way we have been, the way we look at our life, the way we have lived it, how we have lost our sense of even humanity towards each other. And I get these beautiful questions from time to time from people, and I hope that they serve you well. The first one comes from Kathy, and she lives in Florida, and she says, how does one deal with sadness? Is sadness a punishment from God? And when do we know when we've had enough punishment from God? Kathy, sad. First of all, I don't know what your idea of God is. I have a hard time with the very word God, not because it's a bad word or anything, but it invokes all sorts of emotion and interpretation and ideas and ideals and all that other stuff that just rains cruelty in the eyes of those who believe in it, and it's a way of controlling you. The best way to control a person is through the idea of a God. And what is that idea of God? Well, it's a someone or something that, shall we say, governs and rules the world. And if that's the case, then God has done very bad things, because he not only created this world, but he has destroyed it. Therefore, I don't understand why you would believe in any sort of God like that. And that pertains to the idea that the reason something saddens you is because you're going to get punished by a God that is ruthless. And that's the way people think, and I have found that you try to reason with people about this or teach them something other than what they believe in, and they freak out, and they just can't handle it. So here's the deal, Kathy. How does one deal with sadness? You let sadness break the human heart, right off the bat, I want you to understand that you let sadness break the human heart. The human heart is the source of our sadness. The human heart is the punishment of that sadness. It isn't God. It isn't anything to do with God. It has to do with the human heart. Now, the truth of all of this is very important because most of us don't want to see that we are the source of our problems. We want to blame it on something else. Interesting thing about humanity and the way it works, it wants something to blame its problems on. It also wants something to worship, and it typically wants something to worship that it can blame its problems on. It's the way the human mind works. Our sorrows, Kathy, are based in the mischief of my human heart. My human heart that lives via the emotionality that I have both genetically and that which I've cultivated throughout this lifetime. This human heart can be sympathetic but never compassionate. It can always be looking for things to feel bad about, or it can always be looking for things to think it's looking for something good to live for. It's a very convoluted state. And most of us devote our entire lifetime to this convolution. We never grow, we never mature, because we don't think we have to. It is the human heart, not the mind, that makes it very difficult for us to meditate. It is the human heart that needs something to answer to and to blame for the tragedies and the situations of our lifetime. This is the way we live. And we don't generally mature out of it because we want to mature out of it, or we say we will mature out of it. We don't mature out of it because we are very comfortable in our convolutions. We are convoluted and dualistic. And as long as I stay in that dualism of, let's say, God and the devil, right and wrong, good and bad, I will never mature. People don't generally mature. They can talk like they have. I mean, you can say all the sophisticated words you want and put them in a sentence and construct a paragraph that sounds fairly intelligent, but that doesn't mean we've matured. True maturity comes in me beginning or in the process or achieving transformation from my emotionality as the feelings of my life to the real feel of my life, which is the heart of love. To think, as you put in your beautiful email to me, that you think God is punishing you for things you evidently did that were, I guess, wrong or whatever, is highly immature, Kathy. Really? Do you really think that God is a parental unit that looks at his own creations that he made and cultivated through what we read in the Bible, his own, I guess, his own creativity, and then turn around and punish it because his creations were so screwed up? I mean, really, it all goes back to this idea that there is this all-knowing God in the sky somewhere in the universe, and he is he. Notice that, and I don't understand why you women don't put up a fuss about that, saying you want equal rights and equal pay. Hell, God's a man. You gonna put up with that? Why don't you buck religion instead of bucking the system? You need to get pissed off about the way God is as a man. He, him, Father. And then you can get pissed off at Jesus too, because he's the one that perpetuated all this craziness, if you want to look at it. So, you know, it's ridiculous to think that you answer to anything. The law is the law in this universe. And one of the very basic ones around here is the law of cause and effect. What I send out is what I will find reflected in everything that I do. My motives, my intent. They're all very important things. And whatever my intent and my motive is what comes back to me in many different ways. So there you are. You have the motive, you have the intent, you have the way things work in this universe, not the way you and I may think it is working. A lot of our sorrows and our sadnesses, Kathy, are there because we don't see the bigger picture. We only see a small part of this life experience based on our religiosity and our ideas and ideals and beliefs and theories and all that. I mean, what else could we be but sorrowful based on our spiritual ignorance? What else could we be? We could only be this sorrow. So I say to you, instead of living your life in this kind of sorrow and being dualistic about your living, thinking there's good and bad, right and wrong, that you transcend it. And the only way to do that is, meditatively speaking, through conscious living, being meditative and living in that meditation as a conscious manner for which you live your life. People don't want to do that. That requires inner discipline. And people don't like discipline. They don't like things that they have to do. But believe me, I will say this to you, Kathy. My sorrows and my sadnesses in this life have only been an eclipse. An eclipse due to my mind and my emotionality. And once I got the bigger picture, once I could see that it was an eclipse, once I could recognize that I only saw part of what was happening, not the whole of what was happening, that is when my sorrow really lifted. It's very, very important you understand. I hope this helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. We make ourselves unhappy because we only partially see what's going on, and then we always misinterpret it, always based on our dualistic minds. We constantly misinterpret. The next question comes from Pearl. You don't find people named Pearl anymore. That's a beautiful name. I like it. Anyway, people make me happy and then disappoint me. How do I deal with the sorrow that comes from this? Pearl, never put yourself in a position where other people have the power to make your emotionality respond either in a positive or negative way. Now, that's easy for me to say sitting here in my little studio. Very difficult to do in the world. I listen to what people have to say. I do. Whether I like what they're saying maybe about me or what they're not saying about me that I wish they would say, yada yada da. I listen. I listen very deeply. I take into consideration all sorts of criticisms. Why not? Why not? Why worry about it? Just listen. Remember, what people think about you is an interpretation. It is not the truth. It is an interpretation. And they are only seeing a small part of the totality that is you, Pearl. So you say, people make me happy. Never let people make you happy. Never. If a person makes you happy, you are missing. If a person makes you sad, you are missing. And with people that make you happy, they will also make you sad. You will find this duality occurring all the time in your life. Do not allow this to happen within yourself. Do not allow there to be happy and unhappy, right and wrong, good and bad. Don't allow that. Just watch. Have no opinion. I know your mind will want to do it. Mind always wants to jump in and say, well, Greg, this is right, and Greg, that was wrong, or Greg, this wasn't totally true, or Greg, that was all true, or whatever. You know, you can get into this and ruin your entire life. I hold everyone, even my worst enemy, in my heart. and I allow them to be who and what they are in the heart. I just allow it. I don't fight it. I don't look at it and say, well, you know, this person is this and that person is that. I don't do any of that. I let people be what they are as they are. I don't try to make them something they're not, and I don't try to make them something they are. I just allow them to be what they are. And instead of interpreting them, I want to experience them. I have a saying, Pearl, and I hope it helps you. Whoever's before me, and that means anyone in my life, must be within me. Whoever's before me is within me. So you may be doing things I like, things that I think are wonderful. That must be within me. You might be doing things I dislike and I don't care for, and that must be within me too. So whoever is before me in this world is within me. And for me to criticize another person for whatever is going on in their life is really a foolish move on my part, because I don't change anything within me. Here's the thing. You want to be constantly changing within yourself, evolving. You want to be constantly rising above everything you can rise above in your life. And that means getting beyond the emotional fear and hatred that we store within us that absolutely tears our lives apart. My interpretation of you, Pearl, is ridiculous. You know, whether it's a positive interpretation or, quote unquote, a negative one, it's an interpretation. It's based on Greg's emotionality, his values of what he thinks of as right and wrong, good and bad. This is a terrible thing to do to you. It would be best instead to just accept you the way you are and recognize you wouldn't be in my life if you weren't a part of my living. You wouldn't even be here. You're a part of my interior. Every person who asks a question, every person who is a part of the process of this radio program, my TV program, my counseling, my retreats, my workshops, is an integral part of my within. And it lives there as a sustaining value in my heart of hearts. Now, I can look at you, you're in my life, and I can tear it apart and say, well, I only see this part of her, and judging on what I see here, this must be true. I can do that, which would be stupid and ridiculous, pedestrian to say the least. Or I can take in the totality of you and recognize you came into my life to help me. You came into my life out of mercy and compassion. You didn't come here to really ask this question. You came here to offer me insight, to see where I am, to see what I am, to recognize that which I operate from. And if I operate from being judgmental or analytical or negative or positive, I learn a lot about where I function from within myself and what I'm all about. So how to deal with it, you ask me, Pearl? Don't deal with it. Just recognize, I don't know everything. I don't know the totality of what's going on, or the person I'm with, or the people I'm surrounded by, or the questions that I get. I'm not privy to that totality. I might be privy to some of it, but I have to see the bigger picture of all of it to really understand the nature. So work upon yourself. Become less judgmental. Be less opinionated. Understand these things come from our spiritual ignorance, not anything within us that would sustain consciousness. Don't worry about other people. Sustain consciousness. Seek consciousness in everything you do. and you will find a great deal of love in your life, a great deal of insight. You will find the beauty of your own existence in everything that you do. And in living in that manner, in that way, you will find the answer to everything that is going on in your life. And what I have found in my living is that I make my own enemies. I make them in my head. And if I need another enemy in my life, I can make that. I think it would be far more intelligent to allow for love, not enemies. Who needs another enemy? So make friends within yourself with everyone. And don't let people make you mad or glad. Be grateful for their presence in your life. They are messengers from the hand of the beyond, trying to point their finger at what's going on within the in me. Please forgive me. Namaste. What a wonderful question that was, Pearl. What a beautiful name you have, Pearl. The Pearl of Great Price. Okay, the last question comes from Carol. She does not tell me where she lives. I don't understand when you say in your commentary that sadness can help me. Help me be happy. How can that be, Carol? Well, it's very similar to what I said to Pearl. When I understand that my sorrow and sadness is self-imposed, based in the values of Greg Penn, human heart, then I can understand how foolish I have been in the course of my lifetime. Utterly foolish. How I have wasted many a life and lifetime in the energies of sorrow and pain based on my sympathy, my stupidity, the way I've congregated emotions, my assumptions. All of these things go to make up everything that occurs within my life. A lot of our life, Carol, is based in assumption. Assumption in seeing only the eclipse of what's going on and not the totality of the universe and why everything works the way it does. When we only see a small portion of what is really going on and we assume the mechanism for that proportion and we begin to think in ourselves that we know what is happening based on our assumptions, our ideals, our philosophies, our mechanism, that is when we lose it all. And most of us lose it all at a drop of the hat. We lose it because we do not recognize love. We are not interested in love. We're more interested in self-righteousness. And because of my interest in self-righteousness, it backfires on me. And I find that, you know, I can't even live up to my ideals of self-righteousness. So now the real sorrow begins, and I start assuming and drawing people into my life and everything that caused me to feel terrible about who and what I am. People get carried away with negativity. They also get carried away with the idea of positivity. They get carried away emotionally. Your enemy, you know, is loved by people somewhere, you know, very much as you're loved by people in your life. Your best friend, the guy that you or gal that you love so much, is hated by those who, you know, you hate in your life. It's ridiculous to even think of these terms, but this is the way it is. Everybody's loved, everybody's hated. Nobody finds the answer, and hence we're very sorrowful. It is best not to love nor hate, if you know what I mean. Deep within yourself, hold everybody in regard in one way. And Carol, this will help you, I promise. Have mercy upon everyone. Be merciful in every way, shape, and form. Do not get deeply convinced that some people are good and some people are bad. Some people are right, some people are wrong. Don't go there. Go into the nature of your heart, your loving heart, your spiritual heart. Hold everybody in regard to that heart and be merciful with them. If you do, you will change the way you operate within yourself, and love will be yours because it's all about love. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. Please, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.